This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Ramble.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of You Can Sit With Us. I'm one of your hosts, Matt. I'm here with Maggie.
Hello.
You're Rainy on the ones and twos.
Hi.
And we have our favorite COO back on today, Nick.
Hello. So happy to be back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for coming on and sitting with us again for another week.
I am so excited to be back.
Yes.
We're just the most fun, you know?
Yeah.
We're the most fun podcast.
I mean, we're always looking for ways to get you out from doing your actual job.
I appreciate that.
To get you from
that.
Doing real work.
Yeah.
And I love that we just started talking and Rainy had to be like, okay, we need to actually start.
Own it in. Introduce and then do this conversation.
Just catching up.
I haven't seen these two in a while, so we just had to just get into it.
Yeah.
Because you're just on vacation.
I was on vacation, but
you're
Three-part vacation, but also just probably haven't seen you both in at least a month.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so starting with our central theme is food, all things food. So
love it.
Yeah. So first we're going to talk about the best bite you've had, which we've done as a vibe check, but I want to hear Nick's take on it.
Yep. Okay.
Oh. And then Nick has a screenplay about, and we'll get more into it, but kind of about like the brutality of food and how it's like organs and, you know, and it's sort of subverting the idea of like humans eating animals. It's chilling, but it's really good.
It's chilling.
That's right, baby.
And then we'll talk about the cannabis feast. So starting off, Maggie, do you have a best bite?
I feel so pretentious when I say this, but it was Zach's birthday last week and we went to Nobu.
Oh my gosh, Maggie, I love Nobu.
We have a friend who works there who just like fed Zach all the yummy bites and was like, here, have this. So we went the day of his birthday and we met up with his sister. But my favorite bite there is their popcorn shrimp over like a spicy salad. And it's so good. It's like a spicy mayo almost kind of thing. I've looked up recipes on TikTok now because I want to recreate it. I tried ordering it on Postmates like 3 days after we went.
From Nobu? You can do Postmates Nobu?
You can do Postmates. And Zach got upset. He's like, you are not allowed to Postmates Nobu. This is like a special occasion. I was like, I'm just going to get one thing and I won't even get it delivered. I'll just go and pick it up. Like, this is going to be as cost effective as possible. And I think I can split it up into two meals and like make other stuff because it's technically supposed to be an appetizer.
This could be a week's worth of groceries.
I was really just like trying to convince him. He's like, no. You're not allowed. And so I've just been looking at recipes.
I love that it took hold of you like that, though.
Oh,
like,
my gosh. When I have a good flavor. It's so good. I think it's just like the sauce.
Yeah.
I'm a saucy gal.
All right.
So anything with a good sauce.
All about the sauce.
Yeah.
Was it spicy?
Not super spicy. I wouldn't say it was super spicy. No, it's like more creamy. It's popcorn shrimp with like a marinade on top of a bed of lettuce. Not spicy, I would say, in my spice level.
I've never been to Nobu. Which one did you go to?
So we went to the Hollywood one. Okay. The one in Malibu like books out months and months in advance. And it's also a pain to get anyone to meet you there that actually lives in LA.
It's
Nobody lives
out.
In Malibu that I'm friends with.
Yeah.
I don't have people out there.
Did you see any famous people?
No. Shockingly.
Because I went with my friend who's like, she lives in Denver. And so she came out and she's like the best at spending money. Like she's just like, this is how we're going to do it. And it's like, and so we went for lunch and it was amazing. And Pauline Chalamet was there. And we talked to her.
Wow. You know, I was at a restaurant in Los Feliz like 2 weeks ago and I saw two people that I was like so excited to see. So the first one, we were checking in to the hostess booth and it was Benny Drama. Oh. Benny John was checking in. I was like, oh, that's exciting.
Wait, who is that?
He is a comedian. He does like improvises and does like impressions of like celebrities and stuff. He's very funny. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
And then we were eating and we finished dessert. We were getting up. We paid the bill and we were going to a concert at the Greek. And so we were like in a rush. So I get up, I turn around, Dan Levy.
No way.
Behind me. And I was like, and I like don't really ever get starstruck, but he like, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love you.
And then you got a picture with him.
No, I did not. He was eating. He was literally eating with friends. And I was like, I can't. No.
Los Feliz is the place, I feel like, for celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you had celebrity sightings in the last?
I haven't seen any in like the last months.
The last month is an incredibly short time frame.
In the last week,
I haven't seen anybody famous. You see people famous all the time?
I feel like, yeah.
I'm actually quite bad at recognizing people. Usually I'm with others and they'll be like, oh, this is this person.
I know there's been one recently. I went to the women's soccer league.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Angels.
Yeah.
a friend invited Paul and I to go. He's like, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
The energy is so great because it's women's soccer filled with testosterone.
Exactly.
And Rosie O'Donnell sat in front of us.
Wow. Oh,
that's and a good one.
We didn't realize it, but then on the Jumbotron, Jodie Foster was getting nutty behind us.
She really?
Had her jersey on. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So were you on the Jumbotron too?
No. But when we looked, we're like, oh, wait. And she was behind us.
You were sandwiched between two really big celebrities.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It's so surreal when you see a celebrity in real life.
It's so confusing.
You're kind of...
They're just people too.
There's this reminder that they're just humans.
Yeah.
And then you also feel like it's surreal because... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're and always, it's so weird because you recognize them and know a lot about them, but they have no idea who you are.
Right, right. But then they're also aware that probably everyone around recognizes them.
They always, to me, are like, I'm like, you're so small. Like, even if they're like, you know, six, like I met Keith and for the first, like, I remember meeting him and I was like, oh, that's so weird. Like, it's just so weird.
Yeah.
Because it's like, think Keith was so small when you first saw him?
I did because, but like, it's not because I thought he was small. Tall. Like, he obviously is tall, but it's because you like see them on the TV and they're an idea. And then it's like, oh, you're just like a physical person.
Yeah.
You know?
Last month, I was in the gym and I was going up the stairs and it was like me and Jesse Taylor Ferguson, like, eye contact, and I was like, do I know this person? And I like stopped and paused, and he stopped and paused, and then I was like, I don't know, we can't stop. And I was like, I made that very awkward.
No, Jesse Taylor Ferguson, I do feel like if I saw him, I'd be like, do I know that person? Like, do I know him in real life?
Like, I was like, he looks like a pal.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, I've seen you in my living room.
Nick, what about you? What's the last bite?
Best bite I've had.
Mm-hmm.
How many restaurants have you been to?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Week?
I've been to a lot just because I came back from vacation.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So Paul and I went to Charleston, and all we really wanted to do was just eat our way through the city.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And we went to a few restaurants, but Husk is one of their most famous ones from like the early aughts. I think the buzz has died down, but it was still so good. And we ordered lamb dumplings, which were delicious. It was definitely my favorite bite of the last week. Yeah, they were sort of, even though it's a elevated southern restaurant, they were done in a Thai style.
Whoa.
And it was just spicy and delicious. And
how hot was it in North Carolina? Or in
it was very hot. It was it was between 95 and 100, and then very humid. So we were fortunate enough to crash at a friend's like family house that was available that week near the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was like just for you guys?
Yeah, they were like,
oh,
when we were
God.
Actually deciding where to go, I was having lunch with this friend. She's like, we have a place in Charleston. It was one of the cities I wanted to go visit. I've never been.
Yeah.
And we paid the cleaning fee, and that's it.
That's
great. We were near the water, so it was still very hot, very humid, but we could go right to the ocean. But when we went to the city, we were like, we couldn't really walk around.
Even the
streets were pretty empty.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, it's fairly quiet on a Friday night. And then any restaurant or bar you open the door, A, the AC just felt so good.
Yeah.
And then B, it was really crowded.
Yeah.
Packed. Yeah. Everyone's just inside. But it's a beautiful city.
When you vacation, are you like going, are you sightseeing or are you relaxing?
We are mostly relaxing, and I usually map out dinner reservation. I'll usually do like a happy hour.
Yeah.
And a dinner, and then maybe like a post-drink option if we're in the mood.
Yeah.
And then the rest we sort of play by ear, but we're not tour people.
You're a food traveler, really.
I like food and then just kicking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And keeping the rest spontaneous. Yeah.
Sprinkled
like
in.
One thing every day, like to aim for.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like some people told us to do the ghost tour. That's not our thing.
No.
Like,
you don't want to be afraid.
I didn't want to walk around.
I kind of wanted to do the people ghost tour while I was there.
We saw it. We saw a group going past and the woman was spooky and they were going into a cemetery and we're like, have fun. Yeah.
What's the ghost? Why is it ghosty?
They bring you to haunted sites or...
Apparently there's a lot of haunted sites in Charleston in the South.
You would think I would like it because I like horror.
Yeah.
But I don't want to walk around and hear stories about it.
You don't want the real life horror.
I don't want the tour vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. And Matt, what about you? What was your best last bite?
The last bite I had was duck Korean barbecue.
Whoa. Where was that?
And it's delicious. It's here in LA. It's this little place and it's only open 4 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Wow.
So it's very limited and they like kick you out by 8 p.m. They're like, you have to leave.
Wow.
It's not like you have to be there by 8. Like you have to leave.
We're
by
done.
8. You have to be done. And it's unlimited, all you can eat. So they just keep bringing like the duck. It's like sliced in a weird way. I can't even explain it. It's like round.
Round.
It's like round and it's like the duck is in the middle and then all the fat is around it.
Whoa.
And it's like sliced really thin. So they put it on the grill and then, you know, it cooks and then you eat it with like all the banchan and the vegetables. And then at the end, they take rice and they do duck fat fried rice.
Whoa. Oh, that sounds really good.
So
that
good.
Sounds really good.
Delicious.
Definitely I'm going to get this place from you.
Yeah.
You have to go. It's so good. So that I actually had that last night. So it was my last bite and my last best bite.
Yum.
It's still in your stomach.
Still in my stomach.
I love when a restaurant is so confident that they could just serve one thing.
Yeah, one thing. That's it. That's all they do.
That's almost better.
Yeah, they're just focused.
Specialized.
And they tell you to get out.
Yeah.
That's all they have to do, I guess.
Is it crowded? Do you have to wait to get
no,
in?
No. Okay. It was not crowded.
How'd you find it?
Actually, one of my friends from grad school, she's from Korea, and she's like, we have to go to this place. So she brought me one time.
Oh.
Mm.
Secret
That's
gem.
How it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you guys find restaurants actually? Because I am not, I feel like it's a skill that I haven't honed.
Mm. I follow like a couple different, not blogs, but like on like Infatuation.
LA bucket list or whatever. Yeah.
I like Infatuation like LA like has good recommendations.
Yeah.
And then Eater LA I like as well.
Okay, I'm going to follow.
And then I have a friend who does a lot of like networking dinners and stuff. So I always just text him and I'm like, where have people taken you recently? Or he just has to pick them and he has to be on top of it because he's constantly going. So if you have a friend who goes out to eat a lot to schmooze, they typically
do, by the way, because what is that job?
Literally,
like, that's kind of cool.
He works.
I don't know.
He works in film, but like even my friend also, she doesn't live here. She lives in Florida, in Miami, but she works in like pharmaceuticals, and she also has to like go to dinners a lot.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Network.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I used to be an eater. LA guy.
Yeah.
And now I've switched to Infatuation.
I love Infatuation.
Yeah.
They have like good like TikTok/real content as well that they've started making. But they are mostly articles. So like you can just look them up and be like, best place for brunch, Infatuation.
Yeah. Or you can pick the neighborhood, which I guess on Eater you can do as well. Yeah. But I don't know. Infatuation has a really nice list of cheap, too expensive. They sort of give you the deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a good place to start.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna follow them. I don't even follow them.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah.
Today's the day.
Today's the day.
Yeah.
Today's the day.
Okay, so getting into, Nick, you've written a screenplay about food. So should I do the summary or do you want to?
I'd love to hear you do it because I'm so... Rainey asked for a script of mine yesterday and she's already read it and I'm so flattered.
Yeah, no, I bamboozled Maggie and Matt because yesterday I was like, okay, let me prep this episode. And then I was like, let me just get a taste of Nick's script. And then I started it and I was like, this is really good. And then I got scared, so I had to put it down.
Which I was like, that's a great compliment. You told me that. You're like, I put it away.
Yeah, I was like, okay, we got to take a break here. But then I was like...
It sucked you in.
Yeah, it was pestering me. I was like, wait, what?
Pestering.
Because I was sort of like, I think the only way for this to end is the main character dies, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. So then I was like, and I also was... curious about the theme and how it rounded out. So essentially it's about a chef and she's in this restaurant. It's really busy and it's really, she's doing it for speed and not for care of food.
Mm.
And so then the head chef sends her to this, how do you pronounce it?
Agriturismo.
Yeah. So it's this farm where tourists go and they're not allowed to take any photos in this one. And you're supposed to like learn about like the love of food. But then there's just like, it's slowly, you're just like, oh, this is a little unsettling. Like, this isn't right.
This isn't right.
And then there's an influencer tourist who, and each of these, there's like four or five people and they're each sent separately. And so the influencer tourist is, she was like told no photos and she took one photo. And then the next day she was taken to the spa and they watch this family look at this dead rabbit in the eye. And then she wakes up in the spa and the family is like looking at her. And then she dies. And then
what?
I love hearing you tell the story back. It's so like.
And then, yeah, so she is dead. And then there's this love interest, which by the way, I don't know if I should, but I was upset that they didn't hook up because I was expecting it and then they didn't because he died also. But it was scary because he was like.
A slasher film.
It's a full on horror.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a sommelier. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, they're like, oh, well, what's your favorite meal? And he tells him the meal. And then he was like, what about you? And it was like, well, this thief stole a pig. And then my dad captured him, killed him, fed him to the pig. And then we ate the pig a week later, and it was the best meal I ever had. And the guy was like, wait, what? And then he dies. Oh, no, you think he dies, but he doesn't die. Then he comes back later. And then they're like...
This is amazing.
they're like,
this is a long explanation.
I know. It's almost
this is like, a full treatment.
Yeah.
They're like, you've had the best wines in the world, so you're going to be like the best meal for the pig because you've been saturated, you've been like marinating in all the best wines. And then essentially she escapes. But there's like obviously like a whole like path of like, you know, and like battles and stuff. So it's kind of about like just how, and the undercurrent is like, they're doing the same thing to, like, they're feeding the pig humans as opposed to feeding humans the pig.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, all this inversion about, like, animal and human and, like, eating and stuff.
Oh.
So it's like, yeah. What did I miss?
Yeah. I mean, that was great to hear it back. And I also wrote this.
Yeah. How long ago?
This is kind of depressing to say. I think I finished it in 2000. I finished in 2019.
Oh, okay.
Wait, why is that depressing?
I don't know, because it's 2023 already and it's not made. You know, all that stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was
a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of barriers now.
I think the main thing you missed was the chef is... at a very hip, trendy restaurant in San Francisco that's super busy and super intense and like the restaurant of the moment. And then she's sent to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So the agriturismos are throughout Italy and they are often, the name comes from, they're like a former farm that they've converted into tourist accommodations. Some are just bed and breakfast, and okay. some you can actually learn to make pasta or work in the farm. So the head chef, like, you have lost your touch with food. I'm going to send you to the agriturismo that trained me, or you're going to lose your job. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so she is sent there, and basically it's, I feel like we could give spoilers because the movie's not out there, but it's cannibalism is happening.
Yeah.
But as Rainey very well put it, like, I'm trying to compare how we treat our animals to how we would want to be treated and sort of the cycle of food and meat.
Yeah. Yeah, because there was one line that was like, well, with the rabbit and the family looking at the rabbit, it was like, well, is it so bad to look at the soul that you're about to eat? Because the Americans were like, oh, like, I don't like that. Like, that's unsettling. And I was thinking, I mean, did you, like, yeah, did, have you ever killed an animal?
I've never killed an animal. No.
Yeah.
And it disturbs me, but I eat meat.
Yeah, same.
So I have issues with that too. Yeah, yeah, like, I think I wrestle with it, which is sort of what I was exploring here. Yeah, yeah. She sees a family sort of honoring a rabbit and sort of doing a little ritual before they snap its neck or whatever to eat it. And they're, the people are so disturbed. But I'm like, we see rabbit on a menu and or duck, you know, but we don't want to see these. The meat we're eating, we're not connected to.
No.
I think I know a lot of people, including myself, that would never go visit a meat factory. That's horrible. Or even if you went to visit a farm where they're humanely killing the animals, you wouldn't want to watch.
No.
So I was just tying that into what I was hoping was like an exciting horror movie too.
Yeah.
But it, the script I sent to festivals and it won some prizes. So it kind of got me to a certain point. Mm. And then the menu was happening too. And that is the reason everything was put on hold is what I was told.
What does your manager do?
So my manager I got because of this script. One of the festivals I won, the prize was to introduce you to a management company. Which doesn't mean that they'll take you, but I got a meeting. This was right before the pandemic. And I sat with a manager who became my manager. And he was like, I like this a lot. I've got notes. And he gave me the notes to incorporate into a new version, and I gave that back, and he's like, you did my notes proud. I'll represent you. And so basically the management's task is to move that script forward and try to get it made.
Interesting. So,
and then right when the pandemic started, that's when we sort of did our handshake. So it was just a weird time as well.
Oh yeah. Have you guys been to an agriturismo? I feel like Matt has.
No.
I feel like it's on brand for you. No.
In Italy?
In Italy. Let's go.
I've never been. Oh. No, I've never been to. Well, no, I have not.
I have, which is why I thought of the. Was one of the reasons the idea came to me.
Yeah.
So I.
You did.
I don't remember if I talked about it in the last, but I did a movie in Italy. And then afterwards, I traveled by myself because I was there. And yeah, I stayed at a few, but there was one that was really lovely, but I felt like I was the only guest there. It was really small. And it was
kind of freaky.
Yeah. I loved it, but I think that's when the idea came to me. I'm like, this is a great setting for a horror movie. You know, just this farm in the middle of rustic rural Italy. And I was like,
there's no escape.
My husband knows I'm here, but
I
don't know. It just made my mind.
Did you work on the farm too?
I did not. Was not. It was more of a. It was a little bit of a bougie one. Like, it wasn't any place you could. I think you could take like a pasta lesson.
Okay.
But it was just really small.
Yeah.
And just, you know, there was no. There was sheep and stuff, but there was nothing for me to do to tend to them.
Relaxing.
It was relaxing.
It was relaxing farmyard.
But they did have a little spa, which is why I incorporated a spa.
Yes.
You know, they had like...
Has Zach read this?
I gave it to him once upon a time.
I think he had. Because we've been to like a resort. Where were we? Oh, it's when we went to Australia and New Zealand. And just like, it wasn't like a farm stay like this, but it was like a bougier resort in the middle of nowhere, Australia. Beautiful blue mountains. But the way that the staff would talk to us in this just like very, I don't know, it was kind of like White Lotus, but like Australian. Right. I was like, he's like, I feel like this could be the perfect scene for a horror movie. Yeah. And like the kangaroos could be possessed. I'm like, oh kangaroo's my God. Going to get you. There was like a guy driving us in a golf cart once, and there was like a fly that kept like landing on his head every single time he would talk to us. And he'd be like, oh, that sounds like a wonderful day, Mr. Cornfeld. And I was terrified.
As his eyes lit up.
Yeah.
My mind always goes to those scenarios. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even when I was hiking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hiking is...
All day, I'm just like, okay.
Backpacking we're alone. Movie. Yeah.
What can happen if a bear or a serial killer or what have you comes out of the woods?
Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah,
what are
exactly.
you? You're what dead. Are you more scared of, a bear or a serial killer?
I think I'm more scared of the bear because it's more realistic. Like, it could really happen.
Yeah, you can't reason with a bear. Not that serial killers are more reasonable, but at least you could
A serial killer, I could just give my best run. I could try to
We're both human. Oh, no. You know?
Yeah.
What about you, Matt?
No, it's the serial killer is creepier.
Yeah, I think the I'm serial killer?
Yeah, most bears, they run away from you.
Yeah.
That's true. The opposite you can go, hey, is bear, for the serial
they're coming after you.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, I changed my stance.
But you're not a scary movie person.
It depends on, I mean, there's different levels of scary movie.
What was the last scary movie you saw?
Oh, the last scary movie I saw? Zach makes me watch a lot. Like more than I would
seek out.
He puts
it in his spine. He's like, Maggie won't let me watch any.
That is not true. He's allowed to watch anything he wants.
Yeah.
I just won't come to the theater.
There's a reason, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what the last one I watched was, but I like psychological thrillers.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's technically scary movie.
I think all kinds. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like brutal horror.
Yeah. You don't want the soul.
I get that.
Yeah.
Which is why I want to give, when I gave Ray my script, I'm like, it's violent, it's gory.
Yeah.
Because
I know that can be very disturbing. And it's different to read.
Oh, yeah. Know, different like, to read than to, yeah. Kind of well, that's in. Why, yeah. Scary movies to me are so, that's why I wasn't going to finish it because I watched Parasite, like, 3 years ago, and it still haunts me. So I was like, don't do it. But then
it's
I
a good
did.
One.
It was, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was good, but it was so scary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was so scary.
So you're not normally a horror movie person. No.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Eugene
really is.
Yeah.
I'll watch, but not everything. Yeah. Like, he'll be like, don't you want to watch this tonight? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I don't.
No.
I want to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And have nice dreams.
The last scary movie I saw was The Boogeyman.
And was it good?
Yeah. But I feel like it wasn't that scary.
Yeah.
Okay. I can watch scary movies in my house because I can always take a break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take a break.
Whereas, like, when you're in a movie theater, you're in it.
Yeah,
there's no break.
You're trapped.
I'm too sensitive.
Yeah. No, sometimes you definitely need five.
Yeah.
You're just like, let me take a
second.
What about horror pulls you in? What are you excited
about? Well,
what's your favorite genre?
What are we talking about? What, horror? Yeah. So,
yeah. And how can you write those words?
Yeah.
I know. Well, that's what friends do tell me, including Paul. He's like, you're sick.
Yeah. I was sort of like, are you good?
Yeah. I like horror for a few reasons. When I was a kid, I was scared of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big deal for me when I finally faced my first one, which was like Poltergeist.
Mm.
But I like that it's a movie genre that gives you a thrill and really just... I don't know. You're have such asleep. A reaction to it. Yeah, you're not bored.
Yeah.
It pumps the adrenaline.
Yeah, you're not going to fall asleep.
You think about it like you did with Parasite. Mm-hmm. I think about really well-made horror movies afterwards.
For a while.
More than any other genre, like whether it's Disturb Me or whether it's saying something about society, which a lot of horror movies do.
Mm.
And then I just think it gives you a place to go to... Look, by like writing it and picturing it, it gives you some place to exercise your fears.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm putting things in writing that scare me, but I'm in control of it.
Mm.
And so I think that just makes it's really therapeutic.
Yeah.
You know? And I think there's something about watching it too that sometimes is therapeutic. Like you're facing your fears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're getting through it. You're thinking about what you would do in these situations.
Yeah. And you are fundamentally safe. It's like you're facing your fears, but you're also
especially if I'm writing it. It's my head and I'm in control and I could watch other people react to it and be like, it's all right. It's not real. I came from my mind. Yeah, it's my imagination. Yeah. So I think there's incredible power in that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing about horror I like is, as far as an overall genre, like, it could be bad and still very fun. Like, bad horror movie that goes into camp or just silliness is very entertaining.
Yeah.
And fun to watch with a group.
Fun to watch.
Yeah.
I feel like a bad drama can be very boring. A bad rom-com doesn't entertain me, but horror movies, I'm willing to throw the dice, you know?
Yeah. What were some notes that you got that you, like, couldn't shake?
Feedback on the script that I couldn't shake? Well,
like, you kept trying to fix the edit and they kept coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I think every note I got, I was able to accommodate, luckily enough. At some point, my manager brought on a potential director, which was exciting.
Yeah.
And then she had notes.
Yeah.
But I was fortunate where I would agree with them.
Yeah.
And I think it made it better. I don't think that's always the process.
Yeah.
But,
Or what were some
there was a few that I think, okay, so the first version of the script, the chef escapes, but she sort of has a taste for meat when she comes back. She's been converted.
You're ready for a sequel.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh my God. That's which scary.
I thought was scary, but they were like, let's make this a little bit more realistic. I don't think if she had this horrific experience that this would be her.
Interesting. Her, yeah, I guess her journey. I can see that. Yeah.
So instead, she comes back and she's a vegetarian.
Yeah.
She goes the opposite way. And she starts a vegetarian restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I
came around to that.
Mm-hmm. I see what they're saying, but also, like, that is in terms of the, like, just stomach, like, feeling. It's like, ooh.
And then in a draft, I had her fully escape and she's like racing across Italy and she gets caught and brought back. And they were like, we don't think she should ever, when she gets out, she gets out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it all stays around the Agriturismo grounds now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I also,
which I was like, okay, I get that.
A similar thing where it's like, it's thrrilling to have it be captured, but it was, I think, and to your point about control, it was soothing that she came back and it wrapped up like that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, she's okay. Like, you know.
One of your characters is based on an influencer. Was that, why did you choose that role? And was it inspired by anyone?
I know.
Anyone?
It was before I started working for Try Guys.
Which influencer is it based off of?
Name it.
Who was it? Was it Matt?
You know, I, for the food writing for the magazine, I have gone to these publicist arranged dinners.
Right. Mm.
And those dinners are mostly influencers.
Food influencers?
I just sort of based it on that vibe of people, like, just taking pictures. You know, as Rainey said in the script, they tell you no photos and she cannot resist.
Yeah.
So I think it was just sort of a all-encompassing type of person I had dined with.
That you had dined with.
Yeah.
How has your view on influencers changed since working here? Or do you sort of,
Yeah.
What do you think of them now?
You hate them more, probably.
No, I think it's, I understand it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easy to be totally outside of it and judge.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, you know, I think there's two sides of it, like there is to anything. You know, I think the influencer in my script is a little bit of a villain because she is not respecting where she's at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I was traveling across Italy on my own too, and I had nothing to do because I was by myself except observe other people, I would watch people, like, push people out of the way with a selfie stick to just take a photo. You know, and I'm just like, you're not present.
Selfie sticks.
You're not aware of anyone. Yeah. So that's, I think, the dark side and what I was spoofing in the script a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that restaurants are struggling and hotels are struggling and influencers who make deals with these restaurants to come and help promote them, help them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way to bring in business. Mm-hmm. So there's... So I think
it's a marketing tool.
If you're authentic and respecting where you're at and you're there to really recognize the uniqueness of what you're getting to try and share with people, that's great.
Yeah.
No.
I'm trying to be an influencer.
Yeah.
It's really actually very difficult. Yeah. It takes a lot of time. I'm like doing TikToks. I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah. This is like I started 3 hours ago. Why is this not?
It is a job.
Yeah, it is.
So you're not an influencer. You're a content creator.
I'm a content creator. That's right.
There we go.
Content never sleeps. Right?
Content never sleeps. Always be content. ABC. Okay, I think we can switch into the cannabis feast. And if we pull up the
cannabis, the dog.
Yes, I love
cannabis
this.
Cannabis cannibals
theme.
Cannabis cannibals is the title of the episode.
There we go. Can you imagine a bunch of cannibals stoned? They would go nuts.
It would probably be worse.
They'd be starving.
It would probably be even worse.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about cannibalism like a weird amount, I would say, on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you really?
No, we just like we had a stint where we talked about yellow jackets at one point.
Becky,
And I needed to exit that conversation. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be a part of this conversation anymore. Right. It really, really bothers me. It really just
he was just like really trying
cannibals
to get,
yeah. Are people too.
Okay.
You said cannibals eat people too, right?
You are what you eat.
Oh god. That's so disturbing.
Matt, most likely to eat one of us.
Yeah.
The video, so what was the idea? What was the premise? How did it come about?
It came about planning the bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach's bachelor party.
Zach's bachelor party.
And he still raves about his cannabis dinner. He loved it so much. He wanted to do it for his birthday this year. But
you went to Nobu.
It didn't work out.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's a up and coming thing now. Like there are like places that have.
Yeah, I thought it was
nights now that do this.
I thought it would be a good Try Guys video because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought it would be perfect for Zach, who doesn't drink, mm-hmm. and having mm-hmm. a bachelor party celebration. And then when I told Keith my itinerary for the bachelor party video, he said that the cannabis could be its own video.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I don't think that's just a segment. It's too interesting. And he was right. So that's how the video was born. So it was shot within the bachelor party shoot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But we knew it would be its own thing.
Mm-hmm. Did you partake?
No.
No.
And then how much
that would be bad producing.
How much does it cost per person for a cannabis feast?
It was not cheap. I'm trying to remember because you have to remember that this was a catering service that did it basically was a private dinner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they come to your house.
Private chef.
They private do all chef, the shopping.
Which is already
expensive.
You know, as expected. Like they brought their crew. But then Palette Dining also added to the experience by doing decor.
Mm.
So you were sort of, you picked a theme and they wanted to make it an immersive experience.
Mm-hmm.
So they come to you?
No, I found them.
Or, I mean, like, do they physically, you said that they were
they
like
come
a private
to you.
Chef.
Yeah, if you hire them, they'll come to your
apartment or like, I mean, not
yeah,
apartment.
I think they probably,
hotel?
It has to be suitable for a group dinner. So
was it at
the
Airbnb?
So I rented an Airbnb location just to shoot at.
Mm. Oh.
And I went to scout it out. It was, you know, I told them I was shooting. It was on Gigster. So I went to scout it out and I took pictures of the kitchen and I sent them to the
to make sure it was sufficient.
So they could see what tools they had.
Yeah. Like, what's your inspiration for this space?
Yeah, exactly. And then I told them the whole theme of the bachelor party was aliens and weirdness and
Joshua
Zach.
Tree.
And so they decorated in a very
aliens and
whimsical.
Got it.
Yeah, they're like understood. And then they made it look like another planet in
cool.
the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even think we capture it in the video, like how much they converted the space.
Mm.
They were outside building walls and like basically an overhang that sort of looked like a ceiling that looked like Pandora.
Above and beyond.
They totally went above and beyond. They set up for, I want to say, 6 hours before they even began cooking.
Wow.
Yeah, they got to the site in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a 12-hour affair just for the dinner.
Oh, wow.
For them.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's a long day.
We were outside shooting zombies while they were inside setting up. But yeah.
So you're producing it, and they're also feasting, and they're also a little bit high is how, like, were you like, okay, everybody, the food is coming out, everybody pause.
Yeah, no, it was a little stressful actually because I didn't
all those hyenas.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't know when you're consuming cannabis in that way, you could just get really mellow and introspective. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that won't be exciting to just film a dinner where everyone's quiet.
Yeah.
And there was a moment at the beginning when it hit everyone where it was like that.
Oh.
And I was like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what if they're just super quiet? But then they probably got higher and got goofier. And
yeah, maybe they were really hungry.
So like, what? So like,
I also think they were a little nervous. Like, it's one thing to do a cannabis dinner, but you've got cameras on you.
That's true.
You're also sort of
having to perform.
Be a little self-aware.
Yeah.
But like, what does the cannabis go into?
So they made, I picked a menu. They had like three or four. We picked one that was Filipino, like fusion. Mm-hmm. Mm. And then they basically are taking THC oil and infusing that and dropping it over the food.
Mm. Okay.
So they could control
how much you're getting.
It's not like,
you're going to get the whole
butter or whatever.
No, yeah. It's not, they're not cooking with the flour. Or the, right. You know, they're, so, which is good because.
You want control.
They said the whole, the food tasted amazing. I tried it. They made it without for me. Mm-hmm. I just tried little bites.
Can you taste the THC?
I didn't try it with it. But I don't think you could. No.
Mm. Too pure.
It's too pure.
Distilled.
No, the food was really good, which was one of their things. Like this was a world class chef who
leave it to Nick to find.
Yeah, they were like serious about it. It was not like, hey, we're just gonna get everyone stoned. They're like, this is a experience and this is really good food. And as people have traditionally paired their food with alcohol, we're just giving you another experience to heighten the food. And getting high helps food taste better. So it's very complimentary.
Yeah.
And I think the good thing about dropping the oil in is they said over and over again, if it's ever too much, let us know. Like we could stop.
Yeah. Right.
Or even if everyone's keeps going, we can make you a plate without.
Right. Right.
Personalized.
When Zach was explaining it, I was like, how did you continue eating? Because like someone like I have a very low tolerance. Mm-hmm. I will have like a gummy with like 2 milligrams and I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And I'm happy and I'm giggling. If you give me too much, I'm going to get way too quiet. But he was saying that they would get you to a place and then over the course of the dinner, they would keep you there.
Yeah.
So you weren't getting progressively inebriated by the end of it, which I was like, oh. That's,
and it was, I believe, a 4-hour dinner.
Okay, so that's quite a bit of time.
And with an intermission that they were like, this is a big part of it. Like, we'll just give them tea and chill out. And that's when the magician came out. And that was that break was almost an hour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So was it 5 hours total or 4 hours total?
I think my memory. I think I'm going to say 4-hour dinner and the hour break was part of that. Maybe 6 or 7 courses.
Yeah.
Dessert?
There was just delicious vegan cheesecake dessert.
Yum.
Yeah.
Vegan cheese.
Yeah.
Vegan cheese. Yeah.
How do they do that?
Our little cheesemonger over here.
So when they get like introspective, what do you as a producer, are you like, what do you do?
Snap out of it.
Yeah. I was just sitting right off camera at the table, basically, and I would just ask random questions.
He'd bring his poker and be like,
wake up. I would just try to inspire goofiness with questions.
Ask questions. And are you also directing like Jonathan on camera or like are you, he knows how to do that?
Yeah, he knows how to do it. And I think we were in a very controlled situation for production where we just had, cameras set up around the table. Mm-hmm. We had our DP, Phil would run into the kitchen to get sort of the beauty shots when they're preparing them.
That's because I watched. I was like, "How did you have them pause?" But it was in the kitchen.
When they had the next course ready, Phil would take his camera and go back. Jonathan left his camera rolling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jonathan had the great idea to use the GoPro. That's like the fisheye 3D, not 3D, but 360. That is goofy and very stoner esque.
Yes,
That was Jonathan's call. Yeah,
cinematographer.
Yeah.
And then how much do you touch the editing? Do you tell them, okay, here are the beats that I want?
With the overall bachelor party video, it's the one of the few videos where I wrote a whole treatment for the video because I just wanted to guide Elliot.
You had a vision.
Mm-hmm. I had a vision. But when we separated the cannabis out of it, I wasn't as involved. You know, I was just like, we kind of capture this experience really, and just shorten it.
Were there any really funny parts that didn't make it into the video?
I think the funny parts make it in. When they got quiet, that's what we cut out. What you see is when they were just giggling.
I think a lot of them too are not, I mean, some of the people that were a part of the video aren't used to being on camera and have
that's true,
jobs. Yeah, so they were like, I don't want my boss to see this.
I think I spoke about this in our video about the bachelor party, but
which I can understand. Like,
the cannabis dinner was really Zach's bachelor party.
Yeah.
And these were his friends.
Yeah.
Right.
And so beyond Eugene, Keith, and Zach, we made an agreement. I asked him up front, like, how are you comfortable with this? Anyone who didn't want to do the cannabis dinner, I'm like, you can either not do it, like not do the cannabis edition.
They all wanted to do it.
One didn't and then changed his mind as they sat down, which he's like, all right, it's controlled. And
FOMO.
Yeah, exactly. But I gave him the option to not do the cannabis or just skip the dinner completely if they didn't want to be on camera for that.
Yeah.
But they were all in. But we kept the...
They signed the release forms.
They signed the release. But we kept the camera on the guys.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Right.
You know, and then when it came to the edit, that was also part of it.
Yeah.
Like I was like, don't show too much of the non-performer friends. You know?
How did you balance it? I mean, for the whole trip, how did you, it was a bachelor party.
Yeah.
And like Maggie too, like if you know what Zach was sort of his mindset going in, like it was a bachelor party, but then also work. Like what was, how did you manage that? Like, was he excited for...
Yeah, I think going into it, he was always excited to do this video. So he didn't view it so much as like, oh... I mean, a lot of the videos that he does, he does them because he genuinely enjoys performing and loves showing up for videos.
Yeah.
So it's not usually... He's also,
like, very excited to try the things that
are
in a lot of the videos,
Yeah, he comes in with, like, a good energy and is always, like, excited for a new thing.
But, like, also, these aren't things he probably would have done on his own bachelor party.
Yeah, that's true.
If it wasn't going to be like, or a video too, you know?
Yeah.
It's like so much more time and effort and like coordination, money and, you know.
Yeah.
But Zach is also very, on the flip side of that, like very creatively involved on set. And and I asked him way before, I'm like,
you have to have fun.
This is your real bachelor party. You have to relax.
Yeah. You relinquish control.
To trust me.
Yeah. And you shot it out of the park because, I mean, planning a bachelor party for, I mean, very non-traditional, usually like the traditional thing to do at a bachelor party is what everyone does, you know?
Yeah.
So, he was very thrilled and very happy and that it was catered to him and his interest and in what he likes to do. So he was pumped. And he had no idea going into it. There was a lot. All of it was a surprise.
Yeah.
So he can't even dread it. He can't dread it.
Oh. Yeah.
You can't dread it.
I was like, it has to be a surprise because I don't want him to overthink this.
Yeah. They even kept it from me until he drove away. away and I got forwarded an email with the itinerary and I was
that
like,
is so funny.
This
I didn't
is
know that.
So fun.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I'm so excited for you.
I wish they had a streaming that you could have watched.
I know. You know, I wish like, I could have.
Live streaming.
Buzz me in.
I should have just had you on FaceTime.
Yeah, exactly.
Live streaming to check in, see how it's going.
Yeah.
I think I talked to you beforehand too. I was like, don't worry. It's going to be.
We got you.
We got you. It's not going to be.
I mean, you're in the middle of the desert, you know?
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. Cut to the horror mindset. They were at a house kind of in the middle of nowhere.
They were at a planetarium.
You're perfect for a serial killer.
Cannabis cannibal dinner.
I mean, if the chefs wanted to have their way.
How many nights were you there?
We were there for, let's see, the bachelor party was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah, so 3 nights for them. Mm-hmm. I got there ahead of time and stayed.
To set everything up.
Yeah, just to make sure everything was in place.
You packed a lot in.
We packed a lot in.
It was a tight itinerary.
It was a tight itinerary.
Yep.
Matt, you also, I think of you and food like this. You're like very, you're a chef.
I'm always eating.
You're always, always cooking. How, what, who taught you how to cook?
My mom. We always had to cook growing up.
He's Italiano, too.
It wasn't a choice.
It's in his blood.
We had to.
It was like every night?
Not every night, but like, especially when we would have, because my parents would host like parties, stuff all the time, mm-hmm. like family gatherings and all that. We always had to help. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a choice.
Yeah. Nick, are you a chef too?
I would not call myself a chef. I do like cooking.
Yeah.
But I don't think.
What do you usually make?
I always make something new.
Really?
Yeah. Never something old.
I rarely repeat. The recipe. I think I like tackling a recipe.
Yeah.
But
how about without a recipe? You don't cook without a recipe.
Well, Paul and I have started a new without a recipe night.
Cute.
Based on our little Try how Guys often? Show a couple times a year.
Fun. That's
Paul,
cute.
Paul, my husband, goes off book mm-hmm. most of the time and he likes to figure it out. And I'm the opposite. And I like to just.
Yeah.
You know, like the magazine Real Simple.
Yeah.
I love their recipes.
Oh, yeah. Because
they're like, they're not intimidating.
I mean, I use the recipe as inspiration. So I never like, that's why I'm not a good baker person. Because I like, you're too precise and I don't like doing
baking
that.
Baking is hard.
I like take it and then I change it.
I admire that. Like, I think that's so, you're confident in your skills.
When I'm cooking with Zach, the thing that drives me crazy is like, the recipe says to like sear it for 4 minutes. I was like, just look at it.
Yeah.
Everyone's pots and pans
it
are like,
not different. Look.
I'm like, just look
4 minutes
at it.
It's a leap to get to that place. Yeah, I'm slowly getting there. But I used to be very much like, oh my God, I forgot to get the 1 tablespoon of oregano. I can't make this tonight. You know, it's just like, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, you can like Google like oregano substitute. Yeah,
just figure it out, like substitute in and taste it.
Yeah.
So do you know, Matt, do you know the base, like, do you have a structure of like, okay, what is it? Mise-en-scene? Mise-en-scene? Yeah. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, mise-en-scene.
Yeah, do you have like a sort of like a way of cooking that allows you to move about? Or are you just sort of like, you're practiced enough that it's just, you can feel it.
I mean, it just depends what you have at home.
Yeah. Oh, that's why you're changing the recipe a little bit.
Yeah. Well, also like there's certain things that I always like to cook with that help augment like the flavors. Yeah.
An herb. I always have fresh
nutritional
herbs.
Stuff. You know, so.
Always.
So you're the cook in your house.
I mean. Have you seen without a recipe? Like, I have to. I have the bar. The bar is not very high. I wouldn't say I'm like an incredible chef, but I have good.
But in my household,
you're single handedly keeping Zach alive at home.
Yeah, I got to make sure it's nutritious and delicious.
So, for both of you, do you meal plan in advance?
Or
depends
you're
just.
On the week.
Yeah.
I'm not consistent.
My stomach is
depends how organized I am. Yeah. There's some weeks where I'm like, oh my gosh, we have so much in the fridge.
Yeah.
I have like so many little appetizers I can like throw together to make like a beautiful meal.
Yeah.
And then there's some weeks Zach comes home and I'm like, we're getting takeout.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting takeout.
Yeah, exactly. Pasta again.
Pasta. Well, that was so fun, you guys. Thanks, Nick, for taking time out of your schedule to come and sit with us. Thanks for everyone who tuned in to listen to our discussion on food and horror and food and what we ate this week. And we'll see you guys next week. Be sure to wash your hands, be kind to your neighbors, pee after sex. I've forgotten that on a couple episodes, so apologies.
I've had people actually message me and be like, you forgot to say
whoopsies
after sex.
That is our thing.
Episode. And that I was is like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
My goodness.
We're being audited.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. So here it is. Pee after sex, pee after sex, pee after sex. I hope we made up for the times that we didn't say it. Thank you. We love you all, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.